You are listening to On Further Review. I'm Cameron.
And I'm Micah. On Further Review is a conversation that uncovers the fascinating details of the most remarkable sporting events.
Join our discussion of upsets, dynasties, and how one event can be the difference between being a footnote and being a legend. This is On Further Review. All right, welcome back to On Further Review. It's been a little bit here since I've been able to record with you guys. Welcome to the birth of my son here, our first child for my wife and I. And as any of you parents out there know, that's been all time consuming for me. But finding a little bit of time here to get back on with you, Micah, and look at, you know, maybe some recent things as well as dive into a topic that we've been looking at and researching here for our next episode. Before we get into, you know, kind of the meat of the episode, big news most recently has been the NFL draft. And I just kind of wanted to take a couple minutes here, kind of get your feedback, our takeaways, things that we noticed or just kind of stood out to us, more recent events, before diving back into kind of the historical part of our pod here, to look at different NFL draft, kind of just quick recap. I was interested to see, I think a lot of the buzz that's coming from the NFL draft is the small or the teams that had kind of the earlier picks. Obviously the first round gets scrutinized heavier than maybe the later rounds there, but thinking of like the Bears, I know going and getting Justin Fields, the Lions added a bunch of people, the Jaguars basically trying to become Clemson South, you know, different teams that kind of loaded up on young talent. It'll be interesting to see because obviously right now we can react to what these players were in college, but some of these teams that are really rebuilding, it's a lot of new pieces. You know, I think of like the Jets feel like they got their quarterback. They got some offensive line help trying to build something there with Salah and, you know, kind of think the same for like the Lions, obviously in a rebuilding, you know, the Jaguars with Lawrence, we'll see what he does. We'll see how Urban Meyer does in the NFL here for the first year as well. The Bears one's interesting to me as a Packer fan, but just even objective as I can be as a Packer fan, with the Fields pick, I think that was kind of the big night one, take there. And just basically that organization and that administration getting another one more shot, really, at a quarterback and what they can do with this team. I'm curious to you or ask you, do you think he starts right away? Do you think, I mean, they've got Dalton, Trubisky, Foles, I think still under contract, and now Fields as their quarterbacks as we sit now.
Yeah. Well, first off, congratulations again to you and your wife on the birth of this new child, and glad that, yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, that's why I've been away for a while too. I have no excuse. I don't have a child. So my excuse as far as why I wasn't recording isn't there at all. Other than just, you know,
busyness of life.
Got shit to do.
Yeah.
No, I think the NFL draft was a super interesting draft, and I'll tell you later what I think my most surprising pick was.
Okay.
The Justin Fields pick, it almost, you know, it reminds me again of the Jets. This is of just picking, or even the Browns year after year after year, recycling through quarterbacks, trying to figure something out. I don't mind the pick. I think you could probably get some good value for it, right? You could trade that into other areas. And look, you're not gonna get Jack for Mitch Trubisky. Right, you're not getting anything from him. You can look at the upside, think there's probably some upside there, but you just not get anything from him. Same with Nick Foles. So only two picks that you're gonna actually get some value out of two players at the quarterback position are Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. So I don't mind the idea of an off-season competition between the two of them, and then whoever doesn't make it, trade him away, get some additional picks, get some talent on the sides too for the quarterback to throw to, get some defensive bolster that defense a little bit.
Yeah.
maybe the offensive line get something for a bit. I think Justin Fields beats out Andy Dalton.
Okay.
And I think it's a
week
huge,
one.
I think he does. And I think that's okay. probably a huge mistake for the Bears organization over the course of the year.
Yeah.
Because I think Justin Fields in a head-to-head competition like that would probably beat out Dalton. But over the course of the season, I think Dalton would probably be a better quarterback.
Okay.
More consistent. And look, this the talent jump from college to the NFL, that's a huge jump. And I've seen firsthand living in Columbus and following the Buckeyes for ever since I've lived there. Justin Fields is talented. He's the real deal. He's a good quarterback. But that's a huge gap to go from college level to here.
Every year.
The last season, 2020, you played a shortened season. You didn't really, it was kind of a, I'm not sure.
Okay. See, and I look at it for, and I'm physically ill talking about the Bears this long. I look at it as a last ditch lifeline for Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, kind of the existing regime. And so if I'm the Bears, I start Dalton and I try to, at the least, I try to stretch this Justin Fields as our future idea out as long as I can before he's actually having to lead the team. And I'm thinking maybe like by week five, if what you're saying is true, where Dalton is, a decent enough quarterback for them, maybe that by week four or five, if they're 1-3, 1-4, whatever it is, then they have no choice but to put Fields in, because their future, the regime's future, is now tied to how well Justin Fields is. And I think if they get to the point where they say, no, Dalton's marketably better, we should get some value for Fields, I think then it's going to be a change in Chicago for both Pace and Nagy, kind of a new reset. So I personally feel like it was a good move for them because it prolongs what I feel like a lot of people felt like a regime that had run its course. But it gives them that other lifeline. So it'll be interesting to see. I will say, hot take alert. To me, Justin Fields may not be the most pro ready. I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence would probably be in most people's book for quarterbacks taken. I would not be surprised if Justin Fields is the best quarterback from this draft. I think with the way the NFL is going, with what they are doing, and kind of where the quarterback position is heading to. Also, Fields goes into a system, albeit the Bears, and it's not been great for them, but somewhat established as far as an offensive mind and offensive scheme. Whereas you look at maybe Lawrence has longevity, but I really feel like he's in danger of kind of what Sam Darnold's gone through in the early stages of his career, where very talented, but just so much new, so much uncertainty, with Urban Meyer as coach and not knowing what that's going to look like too. So I don't know. If I had to have a hot take, I would say in 5 years, we'd be looking back at this draft going, why did the Jets take Zach Wilson when Justin Fields is on the board? Why did he fall, in this draft? And that I thought the entire draft process, I was scratching my head why Fields kept dropping down the board. I mean, even Trey Lance jumps over him for San Francisco. So it's always fun with the draft that these quarterbacks get forever tied to each other as far as their success too. But go ahead.
So I mean, I don't disagree about the upside of Justin Fields. I mean, I think he has everything that you need to do to be successful. I mean, he's not remarkably athletic either. He's a poised throw of the football in the pocket, and right. he can make the moves when he wants to move around.
Right.
So something you said before kind of triggered something when in talking about Jacksonville. So do you think that the hiring of a guy like Urban Meyer, so he's a new and he's a big name up there too, right? Urban Meyer is a huge name, first ever time in the NFL. Do you think that overshadows Trevor Lawrence and therefore provides him an opportunity to grow and develop while the spotlight's not on him? The spotlight's on Urban.
I would say, in my opinion, the spotlight is greater on Lawrence than Urban. If anybody's getting a pass or becoming a footnote, I think the Meyer hiring is the footnote. I think the Trevor Lawrence, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but I think the Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville is the bigger of the news. So I feel like the spotlight's going to be greater on him. I see the potential for him getting a pass if things don't work out. Trevor Lawrence, that is, getting a pass if things don't work out because of Urban Meyer. And I don't know, you spent a bit of time in Ohio and kind of down there, Buckeye Nation. So maybe I'm offending people that you know, but I do not, if I could bet on it somehow, I do not think that the Urban Meyer trial will work out. I don't know. I just don't, even some of the initial stuff, like his strength training coach and some issues and bad publicity that came out from that. I don't know. I really don't know that he'll work in the NFL. That's just my opinion. We haven't seen it, so I'm just going based on a little bit of gut feel. And in my opinion, his propensity to walk away when things get tough. I know he has.
What
family
do you mean we
stuff.
Haven't seen it? What about Pete Carroll?
I'm saying for Urban himself, we haven't seen him in it. But gotcha. I would maintain that this usually doesn't work as much as sure. the Pete Carrolls that we have. You know, and Pete Carroll was someone I questioned too, because Pete Carroll actually had NFL coaching experience before going to USC and becoming a bigger name and then coming back. I mean, he had failed experience semi-failed with the Jets. He had some success, you know, Urban, this is a brand new thing. But I will say this, I think, like, you know, people might point to Saban. Saban tried the NFL thing. In my opinion, and this is a whole nother conversation, but you're always going to be linked to how good your quarterback is. I think that's a necessity. I think Pete Carroll with Russell Wilson is different than Pete Carroll with, you know, JP Lossman or somebody else that they might've been able to get. I think, you know, Nick Saban with Drew Brees versus Nick Saban with Culpepper, you know, maybe we're talking about something different there. So there's so many different factors, and I will give you that, but to answer your question on the spotlight, I do think the spotlight is first and foremost on Lawrence and his NFL career, and secondarily on Meyer and his NFL career.
Fair enough. Yeah. We'll see. We'll be interested to see what happens. Well, speaking about NFL careers.
Yes.
Here's my biggest, the most surprising pick of the NFL draft.
Okay.
To me, the most surprising pick was when the Green Bay Packers selected to give Aaron Rodgers' phone to Brett Favre and let him do some let him steal the show there. That was the most surprising pick of the night for me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that was – I was like, man, what? I didn't know Brett Favre was back in the body of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. He started with, like, I'm going to retire – no, we already used that one.
Oh, I can't use that one. But he circled back to that one though too.
So there was that floated out too.
He's the whole I don't like my GM.
Yeah. Yeah, that really clouded, or not clouded for a Packer fan, it clouded, but kind of overshadowed, I think, that night one of the draft. And it's interesting to see. I mean, even this week stuff coming out of Schefter saying there wasn't any new news when he decided to break it. It was kind of a compilation of. I know he was on Dan Patrick's show talking about it most recently and saying there wasn't any new news. So there's just so much information there. Still obviously haven't heard from Rodgers, heard very little from the Packers organization, but yeah, the deja vu aspect as a Packer fan, looking at a QB, your star QB coming off of a good season and having all this. And it, honestly, for me, I knew that there have been issues between Rodgers and the front office. I know that it's no secret that he's been unhappy with different decisions or lack of decisions. But that was quite the bomb that, that dropped on draft day, you know, for some of that. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if it's something that I have a feeling it gets messier before anything gets resolved. But that could be, to your point, the Favre history sneaking back up in my mind too.
Yeah. Look, I'll be curious what they do for it. I think I'm hopeful that the Packers organization learned from the Favre saga and get some value for it.
Right.
Or if you're going to go on from an individual, at least get some, you know, get some real good value for it. I mean, he just won the MVP.
I was going to say reigning MVP.
There's no reason if you're going to trade him away, like right. You should own half of the other team by the time it's done.
For sure. I saw one tweet that went out that said, if we do trade him to Denver, it's not for players. It's for that Super Bowl that Elway won. We just trade. I thought that was great. We just trade for that helicopter touchdown that Elway had in that 97 season.
I like it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hope on the Packers organization side of it, I hope that they can make a determination quickly if this is going to be resolved. You know, and hopefully they're continuing in talks. I just really don't want the talks to break down and then there's a holdout and then that leads to the more time that elapses without a resolution. I think the value that we could potentially have for Aaron Rodgers decreases, obviously. So as he gets closer to, you know, I don't know, is he willing to sit out a couple of years and then walk for, you know, his own free agent, you know, it's just whatever it winds up being, it'll be interesting. I also really liked their draft, the Packers draft. But I like their draft with Aaron Rodgers under center. You know, obviously if that's not there, it's a whole different ball game, but
yeah. I mean, I think the leverage is in, you know, I think the leverage is in the Packers organization. I think they have the stronger bit of leverage in this one as opposed to Rodgers. And I think that's probably the reason why there's stuff going out in the media and it being discussed that way is because that's the one area that I think Rodgers is really good at is media relations and getting his word out there. I mean, he's very media savvy. And so that's all he has is that because he has nothing on the negotiating table to be able to do anything. But I think his difficulty is that public perception's kind of turned against him with this one too.
Do you think, I was going to ask you, who do you think, I'm kind of torn that way, actually, to be honest, as far as who is bearing the brunt of the trial by public opinion. You think it's Rodgers? You think Rodgers is coming out of this looking worse than the Packers, than the org?
Yeah, I do. And I do because, I mean, the only thing the Packers have done, you know, wrong per se was the selection of Jordan Love and not telling Rodgers the previous year.
Right.
No team does that, right? You're holding the Packers to a standard that you're not going to hold the 31 other teams in the league to. No team's going to tell their quarterback or any other player who they're going to draft in the next round or in the first round or any round for that matter.
No one has that obligation for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no reason to do that. And there's plenty of reasons not to do that. You don't want that to get leaked. You don't want that, you know, you don't want to jeopardize your pick. You're trying to move up to get the guy. So it's not like you're trying to make some moves. Why would you jeopardize that whole process just to make sure your QB, you know, QB1 is aware of it? He'll be aware, I guess, you know.
Well, he became aware for sure.
He'll be aware.
I think we might differ in that. I understand the idea of not wanting things to leak. I don't understand, you know, I understand that they don't owe or obligated to tell their QB1 and Aaron Rodgers anything like that. I do think that a courtesy phone call or a courtesy text or something. And to be 100% honest, I don't even know that would have cleared all of this drama up. I think that there are many different facets of the rift between the
supposed
rift, but the, even the actual rift between Rodgers and the organization. But
I would, I mean, I'll
I
don't say know. This.
I would have, I would have shot him a text. If I'm Gutekis, if I'm LaFleur, if I'm anybody in that draft room a year ago, personally, I would have let him know. But that that's probably a deferential thing that that, like you said, might be not might not be normal, might not be something that anybody else would get. I just would, because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers and has been the backbone of our team for quite a while.
I'll put it this way. I'm a huge, huge Rodgers fan. I mean, I love watching him play. I'm a huge Packers fan. I think you can make a stronger case for, hey, let me know, inform me, if he would play a halfway decent game in the NFC Championship. I mean,
Okay.
You know, I get the MVPs. I get the level of play. I get that, whatever. But until we see some trophies on our mantle, I don't think you have as much of a say in this, right? I mean, phenomenal talent. The stats are there, whatever. But they don't make they don't make team trophies for stats.
True.
So until you deliver through.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a Lombardi trophy on the shelf. There's now another MVP trophy on the shelf for.
That's 10 years ago for the Lombardi trophy.
That's true.
And this is the what have you done for me lately league, not the, you know, it's the not for long league. It's, you know, it's definitely everyone has short memories. And so it's like, you know, what, okay, championship after championship after championship. What are you doing to get over that hurdle? What are we doing? And do we need, you know?
Right. Well, it could, and this could dovetail into the Spider-Man meme of, you know, Rodgers saying, well, I didn't get the ball back in a couple of NFC championship games. I didn't stand near the goal line as Kevin King and let Sean Miller run past me in the first half, you know, this last year or things like that. I played an MVP season and he could lobby that, I think justifiably so, against the organization. You know, I'm not the guy that decided to move up for Love instead of, you know, moving up for Justin Jefferson, you know, or something, you know, hindsight is way easier to look back and say what could have been. But I understand your point of view, you know, maybe from the organization side of it saying, listen, like we have paid that their offensive line has gotten paid in a lot of, I know some guys have moved on, but you know, we've invested heavily in that. You know, Davante Adams is not a scrub, you know, some of these players, you know, that you do have. And I understand that. So, and I think that's why both the public opinion might be split, as you and I might be a little bit, but even why this is semi-fascinating, but also full of the drama side of it is, you can make an argument for both sides. The validity of the argument, you know, maybe for yourself might be stronger than one for, you know, myself.
It goes both ways, though.
I think it really does.
Both are like, valid, though.
Agreed. And I don't understand why Rodgers is not, like, if he's truly not willing to come play for the Packers, I don't understand that. I also don't understand the Packers organization being so close to a Super Bowl, not wanting to do whatever they can, seemingly so, whatever they can to rectify the situation and get Rodgers back under center and give us another go. I mean, yes, you can bring up the idea of we've been stopped one game short of the Super Bowl many times. On the flip side of that, you've been one game away from the Super Bowl many times with this quarterback, you know, so that's the coin. That's the both sides of the coin. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. No shot at Jordan Love. I'm a Jordan Love fan. I really hope that he works out selfishly and for the kid.
But just not in 2021.
Yeah. I'd like to see him after a couple more calendars pass. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of teams did really well in the draft. Like you said, this Aaron Rodgers thing kind of overshadowed it. I mean, Schefter literally brought this to the forefront with the little ticker on the bottom, Jaguars on the clock. Like, this was the start of the NFL draft, and even some of the breaking news in his tweets leading up, you know, in the hour before. So I thought, you know, a couple, it was cool to see, you know, teams like the Chargers load up offensive linemen for Herbert, some help. I loved Asante Samuel, his kid, Asante Samuel Jr. They went out and got him as well. The Browns loaded up on defense. I think they, you know, got some good players, some good value there. They were a team I was looking at as well. And then again, the other team that's interesting to me is the Broncos. I know they got thrown around a lot with the Aaron Rodgers rumors. The validity of that's been questioned, but they loaded up on defense as well. I think they did. 7 of their 10 picks were on defense, and there's questions they have in their quarterback room is Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. So interesting to see like some of those things for teams, both the teams that did perhaps get ahead on quarterback, you know, with somebody in the wing. And then teams like the Broncos that kind of seemingly said, you know, we're going to ride this out, or maybe there's moves yet to make. So it'll be interesting to see in the next coming months as OTAs kickoff and off-season stuff starts kind of finalizing different dates of what teams are able to do for moves. If there's, you know, continue and as a Packer fan, as Packer fans, you know, the biggest move being will number 12 be under center, and we'll see. I blame Brady. Brady goes on and moves, and now maybe that's the new, maybe, or the NBA. Maybe the NBA has now infiltrated the NFL where players just get unhappy and they wind up moving squads. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for Rodgers. And I knew there would come a day where I'd be a Packer fan and Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be my quarterback. I just wasn't anticipating the potential it could be for the 2021 season.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, curious to see what happens with it. You know,
yeah,
I think it'll get resolved. And my prediction is that Aaron Rodgers will be under center and Brian Gutekunst will no longer be with the organization.
Do you think that it'll be the switch? I'd be fine with that. I'll be honest.
I don't know. People, I know some people don't like that idea, but I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I don't either.
I mean, as a GM, your job is to make your players, you know, happy and ready to go. And so if you're not doing that, then.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
and the biggest thing to me is if Rodgers does hold out and leaves, what does that say to any other player considering Green Bay
when Gutekunst
is trying, when he's trying to, you know, free agent, bring people in, or, you know, even when contract negotiations are up for players that down the road might be stars. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Perfectly fine with that, to be honest. So that's kind of our draft recap, obviously a little heavy NFC North recap some of our interest in both the Bears and in Rodgers. I think those are the biggest headlines from the draft for sure. But it'll be interesting to see. Football's king. So wanted to talk about the NFL a little bit here with that big mark on the calendar with the draft. And we'll see how it plans out, or, you know, how it all plays out. Both on the field and off the field here in the next coming months.
Yep. Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and share it with someone. If you didn't enjoy it, let someone know. Either way, smash that share button.